Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Here's what we won't be doing this holiday: skiing or sledding or shoveling snow or scraping ice from our car windows. Now, I'm really disappointed about the skiing and sledding part of it, but the shoveling snow and scraping ice, maybe not so bad. That leaves us plenty of time for a lot more things to do, but what? Coming up later, we'll hear from Mike Collins of First Night Columbus. Right now, we welcome Walker Evans. Walker is co-founder and CEO of ColumbusUnderground.com. Walker, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us twice in one week, Columbus Alive reporter John Ross. Welcome to the show, John.
Morning, Ann.
I think you're the first time on one of my shows, though. Usually it's All Sides Weekend.
Yes, right. Usually talking about the outdoors. We'll hit some indoor stuff.
Now, there's not a lot to do outdoors unless you like mud skiing or mud sledding or something like that. We're going to be talking about what to do over the holidays. We're going to be talking about what to do on New Year's Eve. And I love to hear people's disaster stories from New Year's Eve. I don't know. Maybe it's cruel of me. But if you have a really great disaster story from New Year's Eve, give us a call. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go on to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. You can tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU, and I guess # New Year's Eve. So let us tell us your stories, if you can do it in 140 characters or less. So Walker Evans, what is going on in Columbus? When I look at the list, just the stuff that you guys sent us and then, you know, going online and checking it out, it's kind of shocking.
Yeah. John and I were talking out in the lobby, and I think there's a lot going on this year because everyone thinks the world is going to end in 2012.
That's right. Okay.
You got to go out with a bang.
It explains everything.
It seems like the trend, and there are still a lot of big parties, but it seems like the trend is going to a little more, you know, smaller parties, more intimate settings. So you're seeing a larger number of smaller events rather than the traditional, let's go out to the 2,000-person bash.
Right.
At least in my experience.
Right. Have you done the 2,000-person bash before?
No. I don't. I'm trying to think over the years. I don't think so.
I tried it once because I'll try almost anything once, and it was just... You know, it's a 2,000-person bash.
Right.
You have to go with a big group of people, and then it can be sort of fun, I suppose.
Yeah.
But other than that, so but the Christmas time, I liked your idea about just doing some freebie things too, going down to the bank to see the train display.
Oh yeah, well it's at the main library. It's the Huntington.
Oh, that's right. It's at the library.
Yeah,
right.
The Huntington train display. We just went. This past week, and my four-year-old son is really into trains right now, so it was perfect for him.
It's the old display that used to be at Huntington. It's now at the main bank, main library.
The main library downtown, yeah. They do. It's open when the library is open. I think it runs through January 2nd. They offer an hour of free parking, so you can park and go in and check it out and leave without that extra expense. But it's really nice. I mean, it's a really elaborate, ornate display with waterfalls, and they have some Thomas the Tank Engine stuff. So good for kids.
Yeah, it's very fancy, and I was noticing how fancy some of the little structures were. No one would live that close to a railroad track, you know. And
they would complain if they did. Yeah.
In the olden days. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. If you have some ideas about how to spend the holidays the next week or so with family and friends. What about you, John Ross? What comes to mind at the top? What are you going to do?
Over the holidays or for New Year's?
Over the holidays.
Over the holidays, one of the things I like to do is the drive-through lights at Alum Creek State Park. Again, you mentioned how crappy the weather has been over the last couple of weeks, and I don't expect a winter wonderland to just kind of fall out of the sky anytime soon. But this is a great time, you know, to see some lights without having to get out of your car, which is kind of a cool thing. This is up at Alum Creek State Park. It's actually through the campground this year, not the marina. But you know, it's very weather friendly, and they do a beautiful job. So, and you can pack a bunch of people in the car.
You can, and here's my warning for people about that. We did that one year. My son, he was about 3 years old, and he loved it. He absolutely loved it. And we got all the way to the end. You pay to go to that.
Sure.
Got all the way in. He says, "Okay, I want to do it again." It's like, no.
I don't know. Can you go in reverse through your trail? I don't know.
It was like a disaster.
Cried the whole way home.
Yes. So anyways, just a warning, you know, make sure you warn them that they only get to look once as they're going by. So
so drive slowly. Is that the thing?
Drive slowly and keep telling them, look, look, because you know, we're not going through again.
Film it so they can watch it again when they get home.
Right. Well, I loved your little film of the train, by the way, from the library.
Thanks.
I posted that on Facebook today because I enjoyed it so much. But I wondered, I thought that doesn't look like the bank. So now it all makes sense. It's at the main library.
Yeah.
What else?
I was really impressed. The lights are still up in Columbus Commons right now.
Yeah.
But they did their holiday fair last weekend and had a really good turnout. I mean, the weather was nice, at least on Friday night, and Saturday it snowed a little bit.
But was it packed?
We went down around noon when it started so that we could get some cheesy truck. They had all the food carts and food trucks out there. And it was a little thin then, but we came back at night for the fireworks on Saturday night. And there was a really good crowd for that.
And the lights are?
They're nice, yeah. They did the big turning on show, which I think was a little underwhelming. I'm being nice. But the lights themselves I thought were really nice in the Commons.
Yeah, I agree. I was down, my fiance and I were down at Dirty Frank's a couple nights ago, and she was really impressed. I think, you know, just seeing something at all for the holidays downtown is, you know, kind of refreshing for people. I mean, I think they're, you know, kind of just looking at, you know, the blank old walls of City Center or something. So to see, you know, any lights at all and what Walker is saying, a pretty nice display, is pretty cool, I think. I think it's a cool sign for downtown.
My guests are John Ross. He's a reporter for Columbus Alive, and also Walker Evans. He's the founder and CEO of Columbus Underground. We're talking about things to do around the Central Ohio area during the holidays. If you have an idea, if you have a question, you want to ask them, you know, about what their thoughts are about something, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And if you have a family in town this week, what special plans do you have? Share your ideas with the rest of us. Believe it or not, it's the sort of thing people suddenly go, what are we going to do? And they all try to like make it up on the fly, and it never works out because people start arguing. It's much better when they arrive, say, this is what we're going to do. And they're like, okay, you don't need anything else to think about. So what is this? This is John Ross' annual Thumbbox exhibition at the Ohio Art League?
Yeah, this
This
is something that we wrote about in this week's paper. You can get a full report in today's Alive. This is, like you said, this is an Ohio Art League exhibit, which is in South Campus Gateway. And Thumbbox exhibition is very small art. You know, it's kind of like the motif is just size. It's very small, like kind of shadow box things and small paintings. And the reason we wrote about it now, it actually runs through December 31st, is that, you know, small art can make really great gift ideas. So if you want to kind of kill two birds with one stone, you know, go out to a gallery and do some holiday shopping, this is actually a pretty cool place to go. Again, that's Ohio Art League at South Campus Gateway. And a lot of different artists from Ohio and beyond, you know, really did some cool takes on really small art. There's some small paintings and some small photographs. It's have you seen it, Walker?
Yeah, I saw some photos on, I'm going to forget which local artist, their blog. But, I mean, it was really impressive stuff. And the photos were all so close up that it was almost like you were looking at little rooms. It was like a little tiny gallery space.
Yeah, in each one.
Yeah, that reminds me. I mean, a lot of galleries have special events going on during the holidays. I know Gallery Evangelia, I keep meaning to get over there. They always have something. They have great music, and that's something to check on. I mean, just check on galleries and see, you know, when they're having different celebrations and different specials and things like that. It's probably a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
John mentioned the Brothers Drake earlier before we got started.
Oh, yeah.
They always do a great job with music, and they always have art displays as well. They have a gallery space.
Yeah, and if people aren't familiar, they actually moved down from the north side. They were up like north of 270, but the Brothers Drake Meadery has moved to about fifth, just northeast of Fifth and High, right at that intersection by Middle West Spirits, the everybody's favorite local vodka. And yeah, they do a great job with, you know, they've turned it into a gallery, and they wanted to make it, you know, not just a place where they make alcohol. They wanted to make it, you know, a creative space where people could come and collaborate on projects. And actually, they're having a cool thing on New Year's Eve where they're going to have a mead toast. So if you're a little tired of the bubbly, go get some mead from Brothers Drake and check out the art there.
What else on New Year's Eve?
Well, we were talking about just before we came on with the old school 90s hip hop party at
Barrio.
Right.
That sounds cool.
kind of dates me, but that's like, you know, stuff from my childhood, which is pretty awesome. So they always do a good job with their special events. If people have never been there, it's right at Spring and High Street. It's a tapas restaurant, a lot of Mediterranean and Spanish and Mexican cuisine. And they're going to do, you know, some of the traditional stuff. Like, I think there'll be a champagne toast. But the feature is going to be 90s hip hop, which should be a pretty cool take on New Year's Eve.
Well, what are they going to do? Just play hip hop music?
I think they'll probably be dancing. There's going to be DJs. You'll probably hear some Snoop Dogg, I would think.
Are you supposed to wear your best gear from the 90s to this party? Like, dress in character?
I have some outrageous JNCOs. I'm not sure if those would qualify. I don't know if I can still find them, but I have a FUBU sweatshirt.
Stop by Homage on the way there. Yeah. Pick up some of his, what were they called, the pants?
The JNCOs?
Is that what they're...
I had some big jeans, and I was listening to a lot of hip hop.
I've got a mental block on the 90s.
That's probably a good thing.
You know, there's always a decade we all have to live through that we say that about, but somebody out there enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So if you were one of those people that enjoyed that era, that's the place to go. Or love to hate it, maybe, is another way to look at it. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. We would love to hear your ideas for how to spend the holidays in Central Ohio. John, you mentioned Pro Musica Celebrate at Southern Theater. Is that another New Year's event?
Yes, it is. Actually, Pro Musica is going to be throwing a concert at the Southern Theater at 8:30 p.m. It says they're going to feature Broadway tunes and A Night in Vienna. So if you're looking for, so it's a little bit non-traditional, you know, it's a little bit less of a more formal, less, I guess, party-ish atmosphere. But, you know, Pro Musica is always great. They always put on great seasonal stuff and should be a great time.
And Southern Theater, beautiful place.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Wild Lights at the Zoo, I have not been in years. Have you? Is this something, Walker, that you...
We went, it was either last year or 2 years ago. It was funny, prior to having kids, we went more often. And now that we have kids that are small, it's kind of like, do you make them suffer in the cold or wait till they get a little bit bigger? But it's always a lot of fun.
There's only a very sweet spot for kids on when you can do things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You feel kind of mean making them stand around the flaming barrels to keep warm that they keep, you know, in between the indoor exhibits at the zoo. But I was going to say, if you want to something to go a decade back from the 90s and go back and do something that was popular in the 80s, the Harlem Globetrotters are going to be in town on the 29th. So it's sort of a something to do in between Christmas and Christmas and New Year's. They're doing a doubleheader at Nationwide Arena, I think at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. So that something, you know, good for kids, good for families,
right.
And a nice throwback to that that era of.
Right, and they didn't go on strike.
Right, there you go. Yeah,
it's great.
Is there
unless
a Blue
they do between
game?
Now and then.
There is a Blue Jackets.
Christmas Eve, there's one, right?
Not New Year's Eve.
Or New Year's Eve? Is it New Year's Eve?
I think New Year's Eve there's a Blue Jackets game. And I've been lots of those on New Year's Eve, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people dressed up, and we'll just leave it at that. that's a lot of fun. Holiday Hoopla at Shadowbox, what's that?
They do an annual show, Shadowbox Live. They're the rock and roll cabaret sketch comedy troupe. They just moved into their new headquarters in the Brewery District this summer. They moved from Easton. So,
that's right.
So don't go out to Easton expecting to find them there and miss your show. But yeah, they do an annual holiday show, and I was actually, we're trying to make reservations for next week to go see it. It runs through the 30th, I think, and then they do a separate New Year's show.
Now, did I read this year that you just discovered Shadowbox in the past year? Did you write about that?
Maybe about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of those things I was sort of embarrassed to admit that I had never done, and one of the head writers there saw that I had said that online and said, I'm sending you tickets.
Uh-huh.
So thank you, Jimmy Mack. And yeah, I mean, we fell in love with it. We've probably been 5 or 6 times in the past 2 years. And now that it's in the Brewery District, a little closer to home, it's easier to get down there. But I'm excited to go see the holiday show because I actually have a small cameo appearance in it, which I haven't seen the final product, how it was edited. And they do music on one stage. They do sketch comedy on one stage, and they bounce back and forth. And then they also do some... sort of like digital shorts, sort of like uh-huh. Saturday Night Live has the pre-recorded, you know, that they project up top. So it's myself, Andrea Camburn, Johnny DiLoretto, and Jim Ganahl doing a holiday drive. I don't want to spoil anything.
Uh-huh.
Doing like the phone bank, you know, people calling in to pledge money. And so we're like the celebrities manning the phones. And it was fun. I mean, it took about 2 hours to record, and I think it's only going to be like a 2-minute,
right.
you know, bit. But I'm excited to see how it turned out.
We still have another segment with John Ross of Columbus Alive and also Walker Evans of Columbus Underground. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us, as did Sarah. We'll read Sarah's email when we return. The email address is allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
When a regional flight crashed near Buffalo 3 years ago, the FAA took a serious look at tired pilots and sleep schedules. Now, new rules are out. They limit the number of on-duty hours a pilot can work. Cargo carriers, though, are exempt. I'm Neil Conan, pilot fatigue plus the homework assignment of a lifetime. Find China's underground nuclear arsenal. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 46 degrees in downtown Columbus with cloudy skies. Expect rain this afternoon, a high of 49 degrees. More rain for tonight, a low of 35. That rain should be tapering off finally by Friday morning. We may see a few snow flurries Friday morning. And then clouds in the afternoon and a high of 41 degrees. Cloudy skies Friday night, a low of 28, and sunshine looking ahead to Saturday, a high of 43. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about things to do over the holidays in Central Ohio with John Ross of Columbus Alive and also Walker Evans of ColumbusUnderground.com. If you have something to suggest, we would love to hear it. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're also trolling the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, so if you want to post your question or comment there, please do. We have an email from Sarah. She says, I am taking my family to the Franklin Park Conservatory after Christmas. It is a great place for my parents and my nephews who are 5 and 8 years old. I heard this year they have a display of artwork from How the Grinch Stole Christmas, so we are excited to see that. Agree? Disagree?
Oh, yeah. The Franklin Park Conservatory is one of my all-time favorite places to go during the holidays. It's one of those places that really just captures kind of the spirit and kind of the excitement of the season. You know, you walk in and sometimes there's snow, and that helps. But even if there's not, you know, you walk in and there's that big poinsettia tree. There's holiday gifts in the Botanica gift shop. And actually, December 26th through 30th, they're actually going to be offering like live entertainment as part of their ongoing holiday celebration. They're going to have local groups like the Salty Caramels perform. There's also going to be some Irish step dancers and a ventriloquist one day. Performances are actually at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. December 26th through 30th. And even if there's not, you know, kind of a marquee event going on, you know, they do such a nice job with just keeping it really fun and engaging. And, you know, there's all those flowers and, you know, they do just a really great job for the holidays. It's I mean, if you've never been, definitely go. And if you've been 100 times but never during the holidays, I would suggest the same thing.
Amy in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my call. One thing I'd like to suggest to do is volunteering. Get the family together and do something, soup kitchen, help to serve, food pantry, Humane Society. There are plenty of places that need some help and sometimes a little extra this time of year. So that was just my suggestion for something to do that kind of makes you appreciate the rest of the season. Mm.
That's a great idea, Amy. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
You know, there's a lot of, if you'd like wondering about things to do in the next couple of days, there's still a lot of gift programs that are way short and you know, when you're out there shopping, just make a plan to drop by. I know in Worthington they were collecting gifts yesterday at the fire station. There probably have other places that need them, and that's a good thing to do too.
Yeah, I would add that, you know, if you don't have time to get out there and support one of those charitable causes, we did a holiday shopping guide on Columbus Underground, and one entry, which was penned by Community Shares of Mid-Ohio, I always mess up the name, mm-hmm. Cosmo, was about different nonprofits that offer memberships, and some of them are more affordable, so they make really good Christmas presents that go year-round. So they have a lot of organizations that they assist that are both charitable. You know, they have nonprofits focused on movies or, you know, different activities. So it's a really nice way to support a nonprofit and give a gift that will last for an entire 12 months.
Yeah, someone just gave me a gift to a membership to Dawes Arboretum.
Oh, sweet.
So nice. Really nice, yeah. Hi, Sarah in Clintonville. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have a question and a comment. Last year we went to First Night Columbus and really loved it for our family. A lot of great things that were going on, but we were disappointed in the food options, and I was wondering if you knew what might be there, maybe more food trucks or something.
Well, I'm glad, you know, someone asked, should I take your call, because we're going to have one of the organizers of First Columbus on in the third segment,
mm-hmm.
and I will make sure that we ask him about that, so I hope you're listening then.
That sounds great.
Okay.
All
thanks,
right, thank
Sarah.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And do either of you ever go to First Night?
I've not. Again, the same issue, like the kids are so small,
right.
that, you know, a four-year-old and a one-year-old aren't going to stay up until, you know, 10, 11 at night to witness all that. But I imagine when they are a little bit bigger,
right,
we'll go.
I have not, but I don't have a good excuse.
Well, you know, there's a lot to do.
Sure. And one of the things I would think is about First Night Columbus this year, and especially compared to other years, is that I think this could be the best one ever, just because everybody's so jazzed about the bicentennial. And, you know, for 2012, I mean, there's just so much going on. There's such a fervor for Columbus that it probably is going to really kick off that night. And, you know, it just kind of adds another layer of excitement. It's just, you know, so many people that I talk to are really excited to be living in Columbus this year. And, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, not a lot of cities can say that. And this is a really special year for us. And this would be a great way to kick it off.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to have several shows about the bicentennial and things that are going on, because there's so many layers to what they're doing. And it'll start really with First Night Columbus and Mike Collins, the president and founder of Promotions One Inc., which manages First Columbus, is gonna join us and tell us what they're doing, because I think it is going to be extra special this year, 2012. Before the end of the world, we will be celebrating the bicentennial of the city of Columbus. We have from Columbus Food Adventures on Facebook said, if you're looking for an idea of something to do, we still have some spaces available at our Alternative Eats Tour on December 30th at 6 p.m. That sounds like a really fun thing to do, particularly people from out of town. What a great treat for them to take them on a tour of Columbus. I remember I went on a pub tour for New Year's Eve some years ago, not around here up in Michigan, but that was a lot of fun to do, too. Although you got stuck with the same people all night, and, you know, they didn't all sign up. If you didn't know them all, that could be kind of a drag. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I don't know if they still have ice skating at the zoo, but John, I think you mentioned public ice skating at the OSU ice rink.
Yeah, it's actually a really cool and not very crowded place to go ice skating. And I know people are probably familiar with the regional chiller ice rinks. So, you know, I didn't think I'd be adding anything to the conversation about those. But a lot of kind of people overlook OSU's ice rink, which is kind of adjacent to St. John's Arena. My fiance and I went ice skating a couple of Wednesdays ago, and they usually have public skating hours on Wednesdays and Fridays. Holidays are a little bit different schedule, but what's nice now is all the students are off at their own homes. You know, it's kind of empty. It's kind of nice, and they were blaring Christmas tunes, and you can get admission and skate rental for about $7 a person, and you get to skate for 2 hours or so, and it's a really nice time.
It's right off Lane Avenue, right there, and I've been there before during the holidays, and it is fun. It's different mm-hmm. than the chillers. 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org and give us your question or comment there. What are you going to do for the holidays? You got company coming into the town, or is everybody leaving and you're going to do something special just with your family? Give us a call. What else? Walker, what are you doing on New Year's Eve? Did we already talk about this?
No, but probably not a whole
Nothing.
Lot. Hang out with a couple
Families.
Friends. Yeah, we don't usually play it up too much. It's I don't know, once you get to a certain age, it kind of looks like amateur night. You know, a lot of people go out and get hammered, and you know, it's I don't know, the appeal wears off, I guess. But one of the things I did want to mention, and I think it was Sarah that called in asking about food options during New Year's. One of the things that gets asked at least a dozen times on Columbus Underground in kind of the week leading up to Christmas is what restaurants are going to be open on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. They want to find, you know, a bar open so that when they're done doing the family thing and eating, you know, the Christmas ham, they can go out and grab a bite, you know, that night with friends and just kind of do the friend thing. I know that Elizabeth Lesner always does a really great job with her restaurants. Tip Top and Jury Room and Betty's all have holiday hours that they keep on their website and their Facebook and everything. And then I noticed there was a lot of restaurants doing New Year's dinners this year. And some of the ones I took notice of that had really great menus
New Year's Eve dinners?
New Year's Eve dinners. Trattoria Roma, Hubbard Grill in the Short North, Barcelona down in German Village. They do sort of like fixed price menus. You pay $30 per person and come in and have a really, really great meal.
And if you time it right, you get a toast at midnight usually.
Yes, yeah.
For often, but yeah. If you can just drag it out that long.
or start drinking champagne with your dinner and
exactly
toast around 7 p.m.
Exactly, yeah. We used to go to the Blue Jackets games and then find a nice place to go for dinner afterwards. It was always a lot of fun. I mean, that kind of thing was a lot of fun to sit down with really good friends and have a beautiful dinner. Sequoia Pro Bowl New Year's Eve Rock and Bowl Party. John Ross, did you really write that?
I did. It's kind of a mouthful, but you know, if you're looking for something non-traditional, I know we've mentioned some of the big festivals like First Night. We've mentioned some of the cool bars that have stuff every year. If you're looking for something a little bit different, Sequoia Pro Bowl on the north side is actually a really fun place to go. And they're having, you know, obviously bowling, but you're also getting, you know, kind of all the stuff with a champagne toast. You're getting bowling rental, lane rental, shoe rental, all that stuff with a champagne toast. And it's only $95 for up to six people. So I thought that was pretty reasonable.
Is it family?
Yeah, it's family friendly, definitely. But it's also, you know, wouldn't be lame. I don't know if this, for maybe a 25-year-old. I don't know if those things are sometimes at odds. But I think this is a pretty cool thing to do. It's up at 5501 Sandalwood Boulevard. It's kind of in a small kind of hidden in a small residential neighborhood on the north side. So if you've never been there, I wouldn't be surprised. But it's definitely worth a trip.
Sequoia Pro Bowl New Year's Eve Rock and Bowl Party.
Whoever did the marketing for that, hats off. That is quite a name.
They got into it. What else is going on? You know, someone mentioned driving, just, you know, I think I mentioned it in my, actually in the billboard at the top of the hour, just driving around seeing the lights. Is it just my imagination or are there a lot more lights this year?
I just moved to Clintonville a couple weeks ago, and my street's full of lights, and I actually put some lights up. I found some in the basement. The old tenant left some, and I put them up. So I don't know if it's just something in the water or just maybe we're jazzed about 2012. I don't know. Maybe we're afraid about the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know.
The last Christmas you can put up lights because, of course, it would be, I think it's December 21st, 2012, so
right.
We have less than a year to go. But I don't know, Walker, in your neighborhood?
Not so much on our street. I mean, it probably just varies neighborhood to neighborhood. When we go out and take the kids and get in the car and drive around, we usually hit the neighborhoods that are going to have the really elaborate, ornate, you know, we'll drive through Bexley or Upper Arlington and kind of look at the lights through there, the people who have money to spend on.
Yeah,
all
you're
the,
thinking recession? What recession?
Yeah. I live on in the King Lincoln District on the Near East Side, and so it's usually a little more tame. One strand of icicle lights, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, I forgot what I was going to say, but the lights. Oh, the State Farm display.
Oh, yeah.
Right
at their building. It's at Broad and Washington.
I can't remember, but if you drive down Broad Street,
right,
headed east. It's on your left.
It's between Grant and Washington. But they always do a really nice job decorating their building. We did an article earlier this month. Doug Motes from the Historical Society wrote an article for us about the history behind that. And there were some archive photos from the 30s, I think, when they first started doing those displays, and seeing like how much it's changed over the years.
Has it just grown a lot over the years?
It's grown. I mean, it was pretty ornate back then, like really a lot of detail, hanging wreaths from the top of the six-story building, and, you know, giant nutcracker on top. I think today the nutcracker might be like an inflatable, you know, yard nutcracker.
The one with the wavy arms.
Yeah, exactly. So the technology might have changed between now and then, but they really get into celebrating Christmas.
We're going to get to those calls, 614-292-8513, because we're running out of time with Walker Evans and John Ross. We want to know what your ideas are. Coming up will be Mike Collins. He's president and founder of Promotions One, Inc., which is the organizer for First Columbus on New Year's Eve. So you can save those calls for that, for him. And Ken in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I live on Weisheimer Road in Clintonville. And about halfway between Indianola and High, there's got to be a 70-foot Christmas tree that's all lit up with small lights.
With small what lights? I'm sorry.
One of those small multicolored light things. I think it's just the largest open Christmas tree I've ever seen. So in Clintonville, just come up Weisheimer, and it's about halfway. It's across from Coleraine School.
Okay.
All right.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Take a tour through Clintonville. Any parting thoughts?
Yeah, just anywhere in Clintonville. I would also suggest, just the grand, pretty beautiful displays along North Broadway between High Street and Indianola. And then there's a yard with about 7 inflatable Christmas decorations. There's like Homer Simpson as Santa. There's like a regular Santa. There's like some sort of cartoon dog also as Santa. And they're just packed into one of those small Clintonville yards. It's awesome.
Oh, also, we got a correction from Tom, a caller, and thank you so much, Tom. It's not State, it's State Auto at Broad and Washington. I said State Farm.
Oh.
It's State Auto at Broad and Washington. So thank you so much, Tom, for correcting us on that. And Walker, any?
I would say no matter what you do, be safe this year. I think a lot of people take for granted, you know, the weather and different things like that. And like I said before, New Year's is a time for everyone to go out and drink a little too much sometimes. So call cabs, get designated drivers. And
use cabs. They're ready, willing, and able to take you wherever you need to go.
And make it to 2012 so the world can end.
So you can actually watch it end.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's no fun having the world end if you're not there to watch it.
Right.
From Veronica on Facebook, I've never been, but plan to this year. I'm going to Clifton Mills near Springfield through December 28th. Go on a weeknight, she says.
Yep. Clifton Mills is beautiful. It's near John Bryan State Park and Clifton Gorge State Nature Preserve. It's a historic mill. Beautiful topography. Great place for a hike, but also, as this the person is mentioning, it's beautiful for lights. They do a really great job. But definitely, as many have found out, you want to go when it's not crowded. So if you can go at like a little bit off hours, I know that the season's closing, but it's definitely worth it.
Okay. Well, John Ross, thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ann.
John Ross, reporter for Columbus Alive, and also Walker Evans. Thanks for joining us, Walker.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Walker is founder and CEO of ColumbusUnderground.com. We'll have links to both of their websites at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Coming up, Mike Collins will tell us about First Night Columbus. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
It's become a fresh air tradition at Christmas time to thank songwriter Hugh Martin for writing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. But he died this year at the age of 96. So on the next Fresh Air, we pay tribute by talking to the producers of a new CD of rare and demo Hugh Martin recordings. Also, film critic David Edelstein gives us his picks for the best films of the year. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Time's running out for you to make your 2011 contribution to 89.7 NPR News. Our goal is to raise an additional $50,000 by December 31st. Pledge at WOSU.org/2011 or by phone at 866-897-9678. Your gift is tax deductible and supports the programming on our station. Happy holidays and Happy New Year from WOSU Public Media. Thanks for your support of 89.7 NPR News. And it's 47 degrees in downtown Columbus. Expect some rain this afternoon, a high near 49. More rain for tonight and a low of 35 degrees. There's a slight chance of rain for Friday, maybe a few snow flurries, and then clearing up by the afternoon, a high of 41. Sunshine on Saturday and a high of 43. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're talking about First Night Columbus that would occur on New Year's Eve in Columbus. And my guest now is Mike Collins, president and founder of Promotions One, Inc. It's the organizer of First Night Columbus. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Delighted to be here. And Ann, thank you. And Happy New Year and Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas and all
it's
of the
like,
above.
Like everything. Happy everything. We were just talking that this should be probably a pretty special year. It's 2012, and it's ringing in the new year on the bicentennial for the city of Columbus.
Exactly. And we've kind of built the whole evening around that. We will start at 5 at Cosi and Vets for all the family-oriented activities, our entertainment, performing arts entertainments in the other buildings like One Columbus and Trinity Church and Huntington Bank and so forth. Those will begin at 7, all activity. And then, of course, Pro Musica has their event going on over at the Great Southern, and Shadowbox has an event. And, of course, the Blue Jackets are doing some things. So, and then we're all going to – so we're going to do those pieces, and we'll talk about what those are in just a couple minutes. But it's all culminating when we're inviting everybody to come down to Cosi, on Belcher, the front entrance of Cosi, and there'll be a stage, and that will be the finale stage. And we'll have performing artists who will really be the top three placers of our First Night's Got Talent. We have 20 talent groups who are actually part of now something called Ohio Idol, and the winner will actually become one of the top 100 of Ohio Idol automatically. They'll perform for us. They'll sing Auld Lang Syne. We'll have some comments. And then Auld Lang Syne will come on, and then actually we're gonna swear in the mayor. The mayor's going to be sworn in at like 12:01.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to do fireworks and welcome in the new year, and the bicentennial is starting about 12:05. So
the fireworks are at midnight?
Correct.
Now, the Blue Jackets are doing fireworks as well? I confused about that?
Yeah, they're doing some indoor stuff. They're not necessarily
doing indoors.
Yeah, it's a different type. It's actually the company that does Red, White, and Boom is coming back for us to do a modified version. But so we'll have fireworks to celebrate the new year, and particularly celebrate and welcome in 2012.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Mike Collins, president and founder of Promotions One, Inc. They organize First Night Columbus. If you have any questions about First Night, anything you want to know about it, any issues you've had in the past, Mike Collins is the guy to talk to. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We did have a caller earlier who said they really enjoyed First Night, but they were concerned about the options for food. So how does the food situation work out?
Well, the food is really controlled by the environments that we're in, number one. But there will now be extended concessions outside of Vets and along Broad Street. Those are provided by catering by Cox and Cox Concessions. So there'll be food inside Vets as well as these concession stands outside Vets. And then Cosi does provide a series of things that are in their normal array of food offerings. So we're envisioning there'll be at least 10 options for the evening. So I don't, you know, I don't know if that was just last year when we actually had more options, or that was at another time when there was a time when that there weren't options, but that was in the middle of, you know, 205, 206, 207.
Mm-hmm. Now, the dark years. Yeah. Okay.
But, no, that was really good. I like that. But we should have at least 10 food options for people that, and during the evening, well, around the finale stage, will be coffee and hot chocolate and those kinds of things at 11 for people to get. And we're pleased with that option and the expansion of it. I think the most exciting part is our program options continue to grow. Veterans Memorial will have 15 performing arts groups of youngsters performing for youngsters, if you will. Inside COSI, we have Transit Arts, who has been there 3 or 4 years in a row, and that's obviously an array of presentations in COSI, which is much more of a middle and high school environment, where we have we actually have Metro School coming in and doing a whole showcase on STEM. We have Invention Convention doing interactive. We have Reptile Man. They're doing a teen night upstairs at a teen VIP. Teen Idol is there. That's where the performances will be, and that's where they'll be judged. We have First Night of Film, which is actually a collection of award-winning cartoons from around the world that'll be shown in the COSI theaters. And then over at Veterans Memorial, you have a fitness fun zone. Then you have a health and wellness zone. Then we have take and make crafts for youngsters. We have bubble stomp. We have the face painters and the balloon twisters and all those types of things. It really has become something that families can bring all of them together. And now that we've expanded the teen opportunities, it really is from 3 to 17 or 18 and I think a very comfortable environment, a very safe environment, but really demonstrates that in Columbus, Ohio, you can have a great time on New Year's Eve, and it can be drug and alcohol free, and it can be family friendly.
How much does it cost?
The overall budget for First Night mm-hmm. is $250,000.
And who pays for that?
I'm delighted you asked, because the bulk of these dollars are corporate dollars, are from our sponsors, and our three lead sponsors make a lot of this possible, and that's Giant Eagle, Limited Brands Foundation, and we have a grant from the Greater Columbus Arts Council to help for the performing, all the different performing artists, including Ladies of Longford that are going to be they're going to be at One Columbus,
Celtic Music,
yeah, mm-hmm. and they're fabulous. Mm-hmm. Infante is going to be, which is a Latin group. They're going to be at the Huntington yeah. Building. And, of course, we have the women's chorus that keeps coming, who builds a great crowd at Trinity Church. And then Pro Musical will be doing their performance in Shadowbox. So we're all attached from a performing arts side. So that those three help it. And then Franklin County not only gives us a project grant, but they help us fulfill. We want at least 20% of our audience to represent more of those that are struggling a little more, the underserved population. So Franklin County gives us a project grant. We actually give them 1,500 buttons to go to underserved families and children so people aren't excluded. Nationwide covers the entire teen program. The Blue Jackets and Marathon Oil provide us the funds for the fireworks show. Pepsi-Cola is there. Mel Carmel's College of Nursing. And a new group, which is part of the Health and Wellness Zone, which is Close the Gap, which is a cardiovascular program that deals with the disparity of cardiovascular care for African Americans, Hispanics, and women. So you look at all those, and then you get the programming side of Metro Schools and COSI, and you look at the help that we get from the Education Service Center of Central Ohio, and this is what allows us to do what we do.
So how much does a button cost?
A button costs $8. But you get in everywhere, including the full COSI experience. And by the way, for the younger set that's there, Dora and Diego are still at COSI. And for many people, this will be the night that they come see it.
Mm-hmm. So COSI is open?
Completely.
Okay.
And they're helping us program the teen side. Mm-hmm. So you have the full array of COSI. You have all the things we put in North Hall. And we're looking to have over 15,000 people in. And on an event day, it's $10. But the button is $8 right now. If you go to Giant Eagle and you show them your Vantage card, it's actually $7. So every one of the Giant Eagle locations, which is our primary sales location, sells mm-hmm. buttons. COSI sells buttons at COSI when you're there. And then obviously, if you go to www.firstnightcolumbus.com, you can buy them online.
And we'll post that at our website at wosu.org/allsides. Our guest right now, Mike Collins, president and founder of Promotions One. We're talking about First Night Columbus. If you have any questions or comments, you've been there before, anything particular you liked, you want to know if it's going to be back, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. It's a special year for First Night Columbus. It's ringing in 2012, which is the bicentennial of the city of Columbus. It's a year-long celebration, but it kicks off with First Night Columbus and swearing in the mayor. How'd you rig that one
actually
up?
In his 4 terms, this will be the 3rd time he's done it.
Oh,
he
okay.
has never missed a first night since he's been with us as mayor, since 2000. And this will be the 3rd time he's being sworn in. And in the past, we've had county commissioners do the same and city council members. We're thrilled to have this opportunity.
I mentioned a little earlier the dark days, and there were a few years back there when First Night Columbus was teetering on the edge of extinction. What happened?
Well, the board got together and put together, you know, a stabilization plan, if you will. At that time, we had a very small role. We were trying to do some assistance with sponsors, and they actually came to Promotions One, and we worked out an agreement where we would become the production and the management company. And we've been fortunate because of the types of sponsors that I've mentioned that have come together to continue to make sure that Columbus demonstrates what families can do together. As they celebrate any holiday, in this case, the opening of the new year.
How many people went last year?
And of course, it's an estimation.
Sure.
But it's not a total estimation.
Well, because you sell a certain number of buttons right?
And we give away a certain number. So you have a pretty good idea. We were in the 13 plus. I'm not sure we had 14,000 last year. And we're very, you know, hopeful that we're going to go over 15 and start to head towards 20 because of the opening, because what we're all trying to do together downtown. And I think one of the things, thanks to you and many others and our media partners, is that First Night can, in many ways, is be the messenger or the hub of a wheel and doesn't need to provide all the spokes. I mean, when you have Shadowbox, when you have Pro Musica, when you have the Blue Jackets, and you have other things and people that want to go to dinner, you have people that go to church services, we're trying to coordinate with them. So if you go to church later, come to First Night first. If you go to an earlier thing, then come to First Night later. And trying to be as inclusive and be the voice of what's going on downtown Columbus on New Year's Eve.
Christy in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Christy.
I was wondering if you could comment a little about transportation and parking, if there are going to be any COTA shuttles or anything like that.
Sure. Great question, and I'm sorry we didn't think of it. So thanks, Christy. Parking downtown, you have access to both the Vets and the Coastside parking lots. Obviously, you have, and in our program, which you get, but you also have, you know, the Huntington Center Garage, Gay and Front Street Garage, Capitol Plaza, Gay and Third, and then obviously Coastside and Vets lots. So there are plenty of them. We actually have the fun buses that go up and down the street. We'll have 2 shuttles.
Is that COTA?
No, it's not COTA. Okay. It's actually provided by Creative Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're another example of them contributing to Columbus because they do so much business with Columbus. So they actually will make a stop. So they'll run front, even though you can just walk across the street between Vets and Coastside, they make a continuous run. So they will go from Vets to Coastside to Huntington to the church on 3rd and Broad, back by 1 Columbus. And it's a continuous rotation. We actually will have them make 2 or 3 stops up on Front and Nationwide after the hockey game's over, so those that want to come down and don't necessarily want to walk have an opportunity to get on the buses as well and come down for the fireworks and the grand finale display.
All right, thank you.
All right, Christy,
look forward to seeing you.
Bye-bye.
Why is it called First Night?
It's because that's what it was nationally entitled. We are one of actually 101 cities in America and Canada that are attached to the First Night effort. The concept is, even though the bulk of the activities occur on the last night of the preceding year, it's that you welcome in the new year with this experience, and that's where the name First Night came from. We actually moved past, and the bicentennial in this case helped us, because in the past we were one of those cities that always had the year that we were in, not the year we were going to.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been a little awkward to celebrate 2012 and 20 with First Night. First Night Columbus 2011.
Yeah, right.
So we are going to continue to be 12. Next year we'll be 13. So it's First Night in the fact that we start the year and we welcome 2012.
We have just a few more minutes left with our guest, Mike Collins. He is president and founder of Promotions One, Inc. It's the company that organizes First Night Columbus. So if you have any questions, now's the time, 614-292-8513. If you can get those emails in right away, we can probably get an email in as well. So the address is allsides@wosu.org if you want to go that route. So alcohol and drugs, of course, drugs are illegal, right. But alcohol is
non-existent.
Don't bring it.
Oh, absolutely not.
Do you have any problems with that?
We have not. And I will tell you that there's a we look, if you will. but no, we have not. I think it's because of the environments. You know, did somebody come from dinner where they had a glass of wine with dinner and then went to see the ladies at Longford? Probably. And mm-hmm. that's great. Mm-hmm. But it's not only doesn't touch our lips, it's something that's just not part of the activity. And it's not to preclude anybody from doing what they do. It's just when you're with us, it's totally alcohol free.
So the other sites, there's the COSI, and then there's Vets, and then there's these Shadowbox Pro Musica at the Southern Theater.
And Shadowbox's new facility on
and Shadowbox is right in the Brewery District.
Brewery District.
And then the church, Trinity.
Trinity on 3rd and Broad, and then One Columbus is on the corner of Broad and High. It's the great big building. It's listed as 10 okay. West Broad Street, but it's mm-hmm. identified as One Columbus. And then the Huntington, it's actually the entrance of the Huntington right across the street. So it's not the front entrance on High Street. It's actually the entrance on Broad Street. And it's in that lobby.
And so what's happening at the Huntington?
Enrique Infante is playing,
right.
And they're a Latin group that we're delighted to have. They're really building a following in the area. And this is part of also our reach out. I mean, we have three children's groups. One's Asian and one's Mexican and one's Latin that are performing for the kids. You know, we need to continue to be reflective of this community, and there are many types of people in this community. And so this is part of that step that we need to make sure that people feel welcome and that they're experiencing things that they're familiar or accustomed with. And the other side is it's not bad for some of us Anglo-Saxons to begin to appreciate other forms of art.
What are you really looking forward to this year?
For me, I'm really looking forward to some of the teen stuff. It was an event for a long time that kind of stopped. But now that we have 20 acts, we're attached to this Ohio Idol program. This is going to be, I mean, there's a $500 award for the winner. They get a 3-hour free taping. They're in the top 100. So I see, there's that. And Metro coming to us and bringing programs with them and a chance to, as Cheryl Lynn calls her contestants and invention convention, giving these little brainiacs an opportunity. I mean, you have to remember, coming out of there are 7 patents in their history. Some of these people have been on Ellen, Leno, Letterman. I think it's really a chance to showcase what youngsters can do in this community. That's probably what I like the best.
And how are ticket sales so far?
As far as we know, very good. Actually, they're up from what we know. It's very hard to know. The majority of our ticket sales are between Christmas and New Year's. So
sure, right. And they can get them at the Giant Eagles, but they can also go online.
Yeah, online, and that's going very well, actually.
And is that the only two places you can get them?
And COSI.
Oh,
COSI over the holidays, you can literally buy them while you're there.
Okay.
And on event day, you can buy them at Giant Eagle, but you can buy them at Vets. So you literally can show up at the door and buy buttons. You don't have to buy them in advance. It's just they're $10 on event day and not $8.
And the events start at 5 o'clock and they go till midnight?
Yeah, and we'll be done totally by the time we wrap up with the fireworks and some closing. You know, by 12:30, this will be down. The shuttles will run probably till 12:45 to make sure we get everybody to their mm-hmm. cars.
And typical stay for first night, do people come for just a couple hours? What's typical? They don't usually come for the whole thing.
No, and there's really two groups that come.
Right.
There's a 5 to 8 group.
Okay.
Those are usually particularly with the smaller youngsters so that they take them home because they either need to go to bed or they drop them off at their, you know, to see their grandparents or whatever. So there's a typical group at 5 to 8. And then those that come around 7:30 or 8, usually there's enough to do. Those usually stay all the way through the closing. That's typically what happens. All programming itself will stop at 11 at COSI and Vets, and then we're going to parade people back out. And so far, if whatever a 10-day prognostication and weather means, I'm not sure what it means. Okay. So far, it doesn't look too bad. It's not doesn't look like it's going to be 60 like it was last year, but it doesn't look inclement at all. And if you'll help us with that, Ann, and make sure that weather's good, we'll be
I'll
good.
Do what I can. Mike Collins, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thanks Mike again. Collins, president and founder of Promotions One. Thanks to everybody for listening this year. Thanks to everybody who helps out with All Sides. Linda Taylor, my producer, associate producer Amy Jurevich, my intern Corinne Gleckler, my high school student intern Ben Faith, and everybody else, thanks for everything. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.